Coming up on today's episode, it's a Miami Heat game day, baby. Game 5 here tonight. The Heat have a chance to close it out. We're up 3-1, and the Hawks stand no fucking chance against Bam Adebayo, against Jimmy Butler, against the Miami Heat, against Spoelstra. Listen, Spoelstra could lace them up right there and torch the Hawks at this point. Like, that's how much we're kicking their ass. All right, in a serious note, game 5 tonight, 3-1 series lead. Can the Heat close it out? I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on that. I'm also going to give you guys my reaction on the entire series, because remember, last time I spoke to you guys, it was just after game 1. So I want to talk some game 2. I want to talk game 3, game 4. The game tonight, preview that a little bit. Talk about the injury to our guy Kyle Lowry and the importance of that. What are my thoughts on that? I have a lot to say for sure. And then we talk about the rest of the series. Obviously, this NBA playoffs has been crazy. The storylines have been crazy. When you talk about the Pelicans and the Suns, that's a 2-2 series, guys. Like, that's insane. How about the Grizzlies? Grizzlies and Timberwolves matchup. That's a 2-2 series as well. A lot of fun series are going down the wire in the Western Conference. How about the Celtics and the Nets one? Listen, I have a lot to say. A lot of reactions to the first round of the NBA playoffs, so stay tuned for that. It's a jam-packed episode on this Miami Heat game day, everybody. So keep it locked in, because we have all that coming up on the Miami Sports Vibes Podcast. Welcome to the Miami Sports Vibes Podcast, and happy Miami Heat game day, everybody. Obviously, game day tonight, big game, big game 5, potential closeout game here for the Miami Heat at home. Best believe we getting that shit done tonight. Why wait an extra day? Why go to Atlanta now? We're getting this shit done tonight. But let's talk about our Miami Heat, and let's talk about this damn playoff, since the last time I spoke to you guys was right after game 1, where we beat the shit out of the Atlanta Hawks. And let's just say the Heat continued to beat the shit out of the Atlanta Hawks. Did the Hawks win one game? Yeah, but, I mean, when you look at what we've been able to do over the course of this series, I mean, this is pretty much an ass-kicking. Now, those of you guys who listen to the pod, you guys know that I said the Heat were going to win this shit in 5. And best believe that shit is exactly what's going to happen. But let's talk about game 2. Obviously, you guys heard my thoughts on game 1. You know, I definitely want to share my thoughts on all these games, give you guys a little bit of my analysis, what I thought about the game. I mean, that's pretty much why you listen to this podcast, I would assume. Like I said in the intro, we are going to talk about the other series for sure. But let's just talk about these Heat games since I last spoke to you guys. So game 2. Obviously, our Heat winning that by 10 points, 115-105. I absolutely enjoyed the hell out of that game. It was a little bit more competitive, which I did like. I enjoyed, you know, being that the first game was an ass kicking. This one was a little bit of a struggle. You know, Trae Young was locked up. He went only 2-for-10 from 3. That is not a good night. Did he score 25 points? Yeah. But man, the way the Heat are able to get after Trae Young in this whole series, not only game 1, not only game 2, but the whole series, like, Spoelstra has this dude shook, and I'm enjoying every single fucking minute of it. Bogdanovich was big time game 2. Remember, I told you guys that that's probably the X factor for the Atlanta Hawks to have a chance in this series. He was 12 of 18 from the bench, 29 points, but not enough, but still. I'm telling you, that man can light it the fuck up. But how about the Heat side of things? Hero had a better game. Kind of an iffy series, though, honestly. I do not like what I've been seeing from Tyler Hero, so hopefully he does get it going. Maybe in the closeout game. I mean, that would be nice for him to drop 30 off the bench. He's more than likely to be able to do so. I mean, we've seen that. Bam Adebayo, a bit of a struggle. He had 9 points in that game, too. But the main fucking guy is Jimmy freaking Butler. 45 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 15 of 25 from the field. I mean, he absolutely took the game fucking over, man. Like, it was just straight up just attack mindset. Like, those of you guys who've seen Jimmy Butler play, you know, over the past couple seasons, you know he's a little bit passive. He likes to get guys involved, but man, we know Jimmy Butler can really be in aggressive mode. And when he is, it is such a damn joy to watch. Like, the way the vibes he was giving me was exactly like that finals run when he was going toe-to-toe with LeBron, you know, having these magnificent performances, just bucket after bucket. I mean, Jimmy was freaking on one. I had a couple buddies of mine texting me saying, that was the best performance I ever seen Jimmy Butler perform. And I thought about it. I'm like, man, those finals performances were good. You know, there were triple doubles. There was a finals. But man, when you think about it, I mean, this game is up there. I don't know if I'd put it above those finals performances, but man, it was definitely fucking impressive. I mean, everybody was locked in, you know, watching that game. 15 of 25 from the field. He was 4 for 7 from three. Like, four fucking threes for Jimmy Butler is a fucking big deal. And then 45 points and timely buckets down the stretch, just constantly, you know, right when the Heat needed it, Jimmy Butler was there. It was the Jimmy game. It was the fucking Jimmy game, and he's been on one. So that was what game two was about, the straight up Jimmy game, the Jimmy show, call it for what you will. Now, game three, this one's in Atlanta. You know damn right Atlanta's going to come in. You know the crowd is going to be on one. You know they're going to feed off the crowd. You know role players are going to get going. Remember, role players always play better at home. So you got to look at the guys like a Kevin Huerter. You got to look at the guys like Hunter, Gallinari, all those role players, and Bogdanović as well. Those are the guys that tend to pop off on a home game. And what an up and down game it was. I mean, the Hawks had pretty much advantage the whole game. The Heat went on an insane run, took that shit over in the second half. I mean, it was awesome to watch. And then you kind of got the vibe like, yo, this is about to be a fucking sweep. I know I was excited. Listen, I right here on this podcast, I'm going to say I thought the shit was over. Like, I really thought we just went on this crazy run. This shit is over. Get the hell out of here. Atlanta ain't shit. And it was just like right before you know it, he couldn't get stops. They couldn't get baskets. And then the Atlanta Hawks went on a run of their own, making it a tight game down the stretch where ultimately Trae Young would come up with the game-winning shot with about 4 seconds left, take the lead by one. Jimmy Butler went for a fadeaway three-pointer, which a lot of people questioned, and the Heat lost that game, 111 to 110, a one-point loss for Game 3, making the series 2-1. But the most important takeaway of that was not only that the Heat blew a run and then the Hawks won the game at the buzzer, well, game-winner with 4.3 seconds left, but it's the fact that we had an injury and probably, I mean, if kind of the most important position out there, especially in the playoffs. Kyle Lowry went down with a hamstring injury, and that's one shit that you hate to see. I mean, this is exactly what the Heat cannot afford to lose, is their point guard. We don't have a good backup point guard. We have Gabe Vincent. We have guys that could fill in, absolutely. But nobody is able to play make the way Kyle Lowry does. That's what I'm saying. When you're talking about a floor general, somebody that could slow the game down, operate, run sets, call plays, it's important, especially come playoff time. And you know that Kyle Lowry has that championship experience, has playoff experience. So right when he went down, I was like, oh boy. And that's pretty much what led to the Atlanta Hawks winning that game. I mean, you could see down the stretch, like, the Heat were just forcing things. They were really unable to call sets. I mean, it was a lot of iso ball, dribble, dribble, not too much ball movement. And you really, really miss Kyle Lowry. And then I was like, man. And then, you know, I saw that it was a hamstring injury. Now, somebody who's dealt with a couple hamstrings injury himself, which I have, those shits are tricky, man. I'm telling you, the hamstring injury is such a tricky injury where you can feel good for one day and feel terrible the next day. You know, you could feel good 1 week, feel bad for two more weeks. It's just tricky. And then once you feel good, you go and you run or you jog a little bit, and then you can strain that thing again, pull it again, and then you're out for another 2 to 3 weeks after that. So having it fully heal and then understanding when it's fully healed, that's the thing with the hamstring injury, and that makes this whole thing tricky. The Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker's out with the hamstring. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the podcast. So right when I saw Kyle Lowry, and then he's trying to play through, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to try to get by this series without Kyle. I mean, forcing him back, the level that playoff basketball is played at, the intensity that it's played at, you cannot rush back from a hamstring injury because you will go back down. So I expect the Heat to try to buy as much time as they can. You know, let's say that we're down maybe 2-0 the next series, you know, see where he's at. But if we can get by without him, I really think the best thing to do is really, really just try to string over some wins without Kyle Lowry in advance. See how far we can get without him before rushing him back, because we're going to need that man, let's say, if we play in the NBA Finals. So that was the big takeaway from Game 3. I was more concerned, that we lose, whatever, we're still going to win this series. I'm not worried. My main thing was Kyle Lowry. So that's the story on Game 3. Now, Game 4, which was Sunday night. this right here was a big game. I mean, you talk about the Atlanta Hawks, you talk about them stealing game three, making the series 2-1. This is a must win for Atlanta. I mean, you go down 3-1, this game coming back to Miami, you're pretty much fucking cooked. So you know Atlanta was going to come out hot. You know the fan base was going to be lit out there, which I heard a lot of Heat fans there, but that's neither here or there. Now, the game was pretty much back and forth for the first half. It was a real entertaining first half, really fun to watch. And then the Heat just took it over. I mean, Eric Spoelstra was deep in his bench, obviously down Kyle Lowry. He went deeper in his bench than he ever had. I mean, everybody pretty much played with the exception of Morris and Haslam. Man, I mean, and he went to Caleb Martin, who had 19 minutes. He went to Oladipo, who had 23 minutes. He ended up playing more minutes than Tyler Hero. Oladipo actually had a solid game. 6 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 3 of 10. Obviously, you want that little bit better efficiency there, but Oladipo kind of provided that spark, and part of that spark is probably why the Heat were able to go on these big runs in the second half, ultimately win that game. I mean, they kicked their ass, 110-86. The shit wasn't even close. Jimmy Buckets was on one again, 12 for 21 from the field, 36 points, 10 rebounds. I'm telling you, man, when Jimmy is on this mode where Jimmy can't even freaking miss, where he's taking over, he has that aggressive mindset, it is so damn fun to watch, and it's so damn hard to stop. I'll tell you that much. I mean, the series that he's been having. First game, 21 points. Next game, 45 points. Next game, 20 points. Next, and then obviously Sunday, 36. He's getting rebounds. He's getting assists. He's getting to the free throw line. He's making his free throws. You know, Jimmy Butler, man, is the type of dude when it comes to having him on your playoff team, like, or having to go against him. It's probably such a pain in the ass, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm for sure grateful that we have number 22 in Miami. That's for damn sure. But let's talk about tonight. Tonight, 7 o'clock at the Heat's house in Miami. Game 5. Heat lead this series 3-1. He got to get it done. Absolutely got to get it done. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Continue to do what you're doing against Trae Young. He's obviously frustrated. Hawks are playing for their season. Obviously, they want to bring this shit back to Atlanta to have a chance at potentially making this a 7-game series. So, you know you're going to get their best shot. Season's on the line for them. You know we're going to get Trae Young's best shot. He might pop off. This might be the game where he pops off. But the Heat have to be ready. The Heat have to be ready for sure. But, hey, there's not much of a game plan. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Continue what you're doing. I'm sure Jimmy Butler's going to be aggressive because, hey, if there's anything, he knows how important it is to get this series over with and over with quickly. The series can change just by one game. You don't want to give a bad team momentum, you know, especially going to game 6 at their home. That's another momentum thing. And then we're back here for a game 7. We absolutely do not want that. And we're the better team, absolutely, so which is why we should take care of business. So I think Jimmy Butler's ready for that. I think we're going to get a big game from Tyler Hero. He obviously needs it. I mean, his struggles this series have not been, like, they've been out there. I mean, those of you guys who are not paying attention, I mean, listen, game 1, he was 3 for 11 with 6 points. Game 2, a better game, 15 points, 5 for 11. Game 3, he had a good one, 10 for 22, 24 points. But then game 5 on Sunday, 3 points, 1 of 8 shooting. Absolutely not good. I mean, Tyler Hero has been the guy that's been so consistent throughout the entire season. He's the key. That's the guy I'm worried about. Like, I am worried if Tyler Hero, you know, really doesn't get going here over the course of the playoffs, because we ultimately need that man to do what he's done throughout the regular season. But nonetheless, game 5 tonight. We're the better team. I think Jimmy Butler turns it the fuck up. I think he knows how important it is to get this series over with. Get enough rest for Kyle Lowry, who's absolutely going to need it. Get the series done early. And after that, I mean, we pretty much on to Philadelphia at that point, because I'm more than likely sure Sixers are going to wrap up that series against the Raptors, and we're going to end up playing the Philadelphia Sixers, and that's going to be quite the entertaining matchup. So, game 5 tonight, I'm predicting a Heat win. I'm predicting a solid game from Tyler Hero, and I'm predicting a great game from Jimmy freaking Butler. That's for damn sure. So let's see how it goes. Let's go Heat. Keep the positive vibes going. And then, you know, if Philadelphia does end that series and we do start the series through the week and you don't hear me on the podcast, quick little thing. Those of you who need to know, the season series between the Sixers and the Heat are 2 apiece. but they're really hard to read because a lot of those games throughout the season, you had either Embiid out or Embiid in and no Harden, or they're both out or Jimmy's out and things of that sort. So it's kind of hard to get a grasp for the Sixers and Heat preview there. I also don't want to jump too far ahead, so I'm going to hold off on a little bit of that. I will tell you one thing, though. I'm a little bit worried when it comes to the matchup with Bam and Joel Embiid, because for some reason, every time I watch, it seems to me that Bam kind of struggles against Embiid. Now, Embiid is a big, big body. He's way bigger than Bam. He's stronger than Bam. Bam has a lot of tools defensively, but the thing about Embiid is that he's so good at drawing fouls, and that's one thing that I'm scared for. I feel like Bam Adebayo, when he plays Joel Embiid, he gets into foul trouble. That's one thing you can't afford to have. And another thing is, when Bam is playing Embiid, you know, those of you who really are worried about Bam and his offensive skill set, it really takes an even bigger step back when he's going against the Sixers, because he does so much defensively and he wants to do so much defensively. Like, he takes the matchup against Embiid personal, to where he's willing to sacrifice all the damn offense to lock this dude up. I don't mind that, but it's a thing that I want, that I'm worried about. So I want you guys listening to the podcast to, you know, take an extra look and really enjoy that matchup, because Bam against Embiid, I mean, one of the best offensive players against one of the best defensive players in the league, guarding each other, that's must-see TV. But man, please, Bam, just don't get in foul trouble. But like I said, I'm not going to get far into that because, hey, the Philadelphia Sixers still have to take care of business, and so do we, before we move on forward on that little preview there. But let's talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs now. We talked 15 minutes of Heat. Let's talk some NBA playoffs. It's been sure fun to fucking watch, that's for sure. So tonight, we do have games tonight. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. This is game 5 in Memphis. That's going to be a fucking great-ass game. Memphis is favored by 6 points. It's a high number. This series right here, man, has been probably the most entertaining series to watch, aside from the Heat, in my opinion. Honestly, like, I'm having a blast watching these two teams. We're talking about two teams that are just energetic as hell. Young stars. When you look at Ja Morant, this kid Desmond Bane, he's fucking impressing me. I mean, every time I watch this kid is lighting it up. I mean, he's putting the ball in the deck. He has handles to his game. Obviously, could shoot the three well. His intensity on defense. Memphis got a damn fun-ass team to watch, but so does Minnesota. I mean, their identity that they built with Patrick Beverley, Karl Towns, and then having Anthony Edwards playing at the level he's playing at. Like, this is my favorite series thus far. I mean, two games apiece. So, obviously, game 3 should have been Minnesota's. Like, they were up by 21 in the fourth quarter. They were up by, I think, as many as 26 in the game. And Memphis went on a fucking crazy run. I mean, erasing a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter to win that game. I was like, man, that is crazy. Like, you can't even feel bad for the Timberwolves at that point. You were able to blow a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter in playoff basketball at home. You don't deserve that fucking win. So I didn't feel bad for them at all. And at that point, I really thought there's no way you could even bounce back. Like, I think Memphis is going to go on, win game 4, and then win game 5 at home. But credit to the Timberwolves. They answered in game 4. It was a fucking crazy game, back and forth game. Fun as hell to watch. Karl Anthony Towns had over 30 points. He had to have a game like that because he's been struggling. And if, you know, he wants to be in these moments, he has to take over. He's one of the best big men in the league, probably the best big man shooter in the league. Karl Anthony Towns, who I'm a big fan of, and I know many aren't, he's got to be the guy to take over these games. If Minnesota wants to have a chance to win these games, I feel like at this point, you know what you're getting for Anthony Edwards, but Cat's really got to dominate, and he's got to stay out of foul trouble. That's another thing with Karl Anthony Towns. His discipline when it comes to the game and IQ when it comes to the game from a defensive standpoint, it's really worrisome. I mean, it's like he doesn't realize when to not foul. He doesn't ever think he commits a foul either. He's whining about every single call. It's like his head needs to be more locked in. I don't understand it, quite frankly. Those of you guys who, if you haven't noticed that, just wait for it. Watch it tonight, because I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be watching game 5, you know, alongside with the Heat one, if you got a little extra TV or a tablet or something like that. But ultimately, just want to say, I still think Memphis is going to win that series. So as far as game 5 goes, being at home, I think it's going 7. I said it was going 7. Had Memphis in 7, I still stand by that. I think Memphis wins tonight, Minnesota wins theirs at home, and then Grizzlies bring it back to the crib and win in 7. But let's talk about the next game. and the next series pretty much here. So it's the Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns. This series right here is tied at 2 apiece. Phoenix is at home. And yeah, you heard me right. This series is tied at 2 apiece. Wow. I mean, who would have thought that? I mean, the number one seed Phoenix Suns against the Pelicans? I mean, you asked me this probably a couple months back. You say, yo, the Pelicans are going to play the Suns. It's going to be 2-2 after 4 games. I said, get the fuck out of here, man. Even without Devin Booker, I still say get the fuck out of here. But, man, credit to the Pelicans, man. I mean, the Pelicans have been this scrappy, hard-playing bunch that I cannot stop but get impressed with. Like, I really cannot. The way they played themselves into the playoffs, the way they played in the play-in games, and throughout the stretch of the regular season, Brandon Ingram is on one. I mean, he's special, man. Ingram is special. It was only a matter of time before this guy could really put everything together. And he has over the last couple seasons and this playoff run. CJ McCollum, love what they get from him. Obviously, he's a playmaking guard. He can shoot the ball. One of the best mid-rangers in the game. Has tight, nice handles. Also, Jonas Valanciunas. That's a double-double machine. You cannot stop him on the boards. And then they have these three rookies who are contributing and playing well for them. I mean, you got guys like Alvarado, Herbert Jones, and Trey Murphy. I mean, these are three players that are all rookies and are contributing a lot throughout this series. I've been quite impressed, honestly. And then you got a first-year head coach, Willie Green, at that. So that's not even saying nothing about Zion. I mean, Zion Williamson is their best player. That's their number one overall pick. That's their cherished guy. He hasn't been quiet either. You know, it's bad enough that he hasn't played, but he's throwing down dunks like crazy, which I feel like if you're throwing down dunks like crazy, you can at least play a little bit. But hey, that's neither here or there. But how about it? I mean, Zion Williamson with a bunch of rumors out there. Will he play? Will he not play? Is he healthy enough? This and that. Does he want to trade? That's all been circulating throughout the whole regular season. But Willie Green says, fuck that shit. And gets this team to not only play themselves into the playoffs and make the 8th seed, but he's giving the Phoenix Suns a run for their money. So I'm quite impressed about that. And I think it's amazing what the Pelicans have been able to do. I think it's amazing what Willie Green has been able to do. And now we got Game 5 here in Phoenix. Now, I mentioned earlier, Devin Booker's out with a hamstring injury. That's probably going to take 2 to 3 weeks to heal. It's the same thing with Kyle Lowry, like I said. That's a big blow. But this Phoenix Suns team is different, man. This Phoenix Suns team, I love where they're at. Where the chemistry standpoint, I talked about this before, from a coaching standpoint, and then Chris Paul, the floor general himself, that's like having an extra coach out there playing the game and thinking the game and inspiring that confidence throughout the team. So 2-2 is probably not where they want to be at this point, but I'm still not doubting the Suns, even without Devin Booker. Even though the Pelicans are playing really, really impressive and have this series fucking fun as hell to watch, I think it's going to continue to be a battle. I think it's going to be tough. Whether this series ends up going 6 or even 7 games, I still like the Suns here. I like the Suns tonight at home. Listen, they better win this game. This is a must win for Phoenix. And then, like I said, if they win in 6 or win in 7, I like the Suns' chances. If I had to predict, though, I think this is going to go 7. I really do. I think Phoenix is going to win tonight. I think it's going to be a competitive game on game 6. I think Phoenix is really going to try to win that one, obviously. But I think the Pelicans are going to prevail. And I think we're going 7 games where Chris Paul has one of those Chris Paul games that he had in game 3. And I think the Suns eliminate the Pelicans. If not, my goodness, that would be sick. I mean, could you just imagine if the Pelicans really eliminate the Suns? I mean, that would be sick. That would be sick. I don't think that happens, but man, that would be a story that people would not let go. The other series going on, obviously, you know, we got a couple games tomorrow, so we'll talk about that in those series right here. So Nuggets taking on the Warriors in Golden State. Now the Golden State Warriors lead the series 3-1. Obviously, they had a chance for a sweep on Sunday. I thought they were going to do it. Denver had control this whole entire game. But man, the Warriors made that late push and you got the feeling like, uh-oh, Curry's cooking. These guys have that look in their face. Klay Thompson was cooking. And the Nuggets prevailed. So credit to the Nuggets. They did do what they had to do, is win a game at home and force a game 5. Now they know they can beat the Warriors. However, I still think it's over. And I think it's over tomorrow night in Golden State. There's no way in hell this is going back to Denver. I think the Warriors are way too good. I think Jordan Poole is way too good. The series he's been having, I mean, my goodness. Like, that's just fucking impressive, honestly. Every time another guy, like, if there's a couple stories that I've been just impressed with in the playoffs, I'll tell you one thing. It's Jordan Poole's game. It's Anthony Edwards' game. I mean, these are two guys that are playing in their first playoff series ever in their career. The way those two have been able to perform, those are two things I'm looking at that have impressed me. And another thing is the way the Pelicans and those three rookies as well playing in their first thing. Those are things that have impressed me. I mean, like I said, the Pelicans making this a 2-2 series in, over there in Phoenix, having those three rookies, those are the things that I've been like, wow, 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 wow. And then obviously the fourth thing, which we'll talk about right after this, is the Celtics and the Nets series. I mean, the Celtics really is killing the Nets. I mean, the Nets got no shot, it looks like, beating Boston. But like I said, Jordan Poole's games in the playoffs, 30-point performance, followed by 29 points, followed by 27. And then Sunday when they lost, he only had 11 points. But Jordan Poole has been impressive. I think he's going to have a game here. Likes playing at home. Remember what I say, role players play better at home. Is he a role player or is that disrespectful? I don't know, but he's a young player at that. And young players love playing at home. So I think the Warriors get it done behind a big game from Jordan Poole. And then another series I want to talk about. Now, I'm recording this right before the Celtics take on the Nets here. Game 4 in Brooklyn. I'm recording this right before the game. Now, the Celtics are up 3-0 in that series. Can the Celtics get the sweep? I don't want to touch too much on that because it might happen. I think it will happen. Either way, whether it does or not, I mean, the way the Celtics have just kicked the Nets' ass has been so, so crazy. I thought there was no chance in hell that Boston was even going to win Game 3 in Brooklyn. But, man, I mean, that crowd was mostly Boston fans. And the Celtics, like, what they're able to do defensively, that's another thing where I'm just like, man, like, this team's actually fucking good. And however, I do like the way the Heat match up against the team. So if we do play them, I'm all for it. But, man, the Celtics have looked good, and it's hard to fucking ignore them, that's for sure. So that series pretty much looks like it's going to be the Celtics all day. Raptors as well play right before I'm recording this podcast, like I said. They play Game 5 in Philly. They're up 3-1 over the Raptors. I think that series is over. It could have been over in 4, but the Raptors pulled away. Credit to them. Joel Embiid does have a bit of a thumb injury. It looked like it was bothering him. He was not playing as dominant as he was throughout the rest of the series. How severe is it? I guess we're really going to have to keep a close eye and find out. I can tell, though, something was definitely bugging him in Game 4. But I think the 76ers take care of business. I think they'll be advancing, and most likely that's going to be the team if we do what we need to do tonight. We're going to end up playing them. And then also Utah against Dallas, 2-2 series there. This game's in Dallas. Game 5's in Dallas. I think Dallas wins this game. I think the series goes 7. I had Dallas in 7 before on my podcast. I still stand by that. Luka coming back. They picked up the loss with Luka back, which I thought was crazy, even though it was an insane game. Donovan Mitchell did not have a good game. Jordan Clarkson had an amazing game. Remember, role players at home. But this game right here, I think this is all Dallas. I think Dallas is the better team. Having Luka out there is just exactly what Utah did not want to see. So I think the Mavericks do end up winning the series, whether they win this game here, Game 5 or not. I still think when you have a guy like Luka out there, you always have a chance, even if you're going Game 6 down 3-2 in the series. Luka is that special. I think he's, man, I don't even know where to rank him, but definitely high up there on the ranking list for me. Also, the other series, Bucks and the Bulls. Listen, that series is over, okay? I said Bucks in 5, and that is pretty damn I'm pretty damn sure that's exactly what's going to happen. So that series has been so lopsided. I mean, the Bucks have been just kicking the shit out of the Chicago Bulls. Like, the Bulls don't even belong in the playoffs, it looks like, despite the great season from DeMar DeRozan and everybody. I guess they just ran out of gas because the Bucks, I mean, the shit isn't even close. I mean, the way they're dominating them, it's just like, wow. So we don't need to spend too much time on that. So it looks like we're going to be getting Milwaukee against Boston, which is, oh my God, that's going to be so good, especially like these two defensive teams, having Tatum, having Giannis, that's going to be fun. And then we're probably going to get Miami against Philadelphia. Now Bam versus Embiid, Jimmy Butler going back to Philly, Kyle Lowry going back to Philly where he's from. James Harden, obviously trying to make a name for himself as not the playoff guy that chokes all the time. So a lot of star power. That's going to be fun as hell in the Eastern Conference side of things. And in the West, we're most likely looking at Memphis if they do win against Golden State. That would be fun as hell to watch. And then on the other side would be Phoenix if they hold on against either Dallas or Utah. Now, the West is way different. A lot of these teams, a lot of these series still got a lot of ways this thing could go, with the exception of Golden State. The East is pretty much set. Like, you pretty much know the next round's matchups. But, man, the playoffs in all have been freaking fun as hell to watch. I mean, it's been everything I can ask for and more. I mean, you have good-ass games to watch. You have great storylines. You know, the injury things is the thing that I hate the most. I mean, having Kyle down, having Embiid down, having Booker down, having Middleton down also, what I didn't mention, he's out for quite some time. You want to see those guys healthy, especially in the playoffs. You want the best team to win, so prayers up. Hopefully those guys be fine. But yeah, man, these NBA playoffs have been no joke, so I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I hope you guys are too. That's a wrap, though. Obviously, for this week's episode, I'm going to break down so many more of these playoff games throughout these entire playoffs. Continue to give you guys my thoughts, because this is playoff basketball, man. I mean, this shit does not get better than this. But keep it locked in tonight. Don't forget, big, big game, closeout game, game five, Heat, Hawks. Can the Heat advance to the next round tonight? Don't waste time, Miami. Get that shit done. All right, so that wraps up episode 67, playoff basketball talk, a lot of NBA talk. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Damn, I really enjoyed giving my thoughts on all those series. I've been locked into my damn TV every single night with these playoffs, staying up a little bit later than I should. I'd be tired as hell the next day, but no regrets, man. The playoffs is so fun. I mean, if you're missing out, if you're going to sleep early, you're missing out some good basketball, and that's the part that sucks, you know? But hey, what a fun NBA playoffs has been. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, for your support, and being here, joining me, listening to my takes and my rants, listening to me talk and hype up the Miami Heat the way I do. Thank you so much for the support, and thank you for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast with Nando Diaz. Let's go, Heat!